There is wonderful scripture which is in the very first chapter of John. We need to think about it for a little bit before we realize that it's talking about Jesus. But this is the first 18 verses of John's Gospel, the first chapter. In the beginning, the Word, with a capital W, I will have you notice, already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. From the very beginning, the Word was with God. Through Him, God made all things. Not one thing in all creation was made without Him. The Word was the source of life, and this life brought light to people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never put it out. God sent His messenger, a man named John, who came to tell people about the light so that all should hear the message and believe. He Himself was not the light. He came to tell about the light. This was the real light, the light that comes into the world and shines on all people. The Word was in the world, and though God made the world through Him, yet the world did not recognize Him. He came to His own country, but His own people did not receive Him. Some, however, did receive Him and believed in Him. So He gave them the right to become God's children. They did not become God's children by natural means. That is, by being born as the children of a human father, God Himself was their father. The Word became a human being, and full of grace and truth lived among us. We saw His glory, the glory which He received as the Father's only Son. John spoke about Him. He cried out, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, 'He comes after me, but He is greater than I am, because He existed before I was born.'" Out of the fullness of His grace, He has blessed us all, giving us one blessing after another. God gave the law through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only Son, who is the same as God and is at the Father's side, He has made Him known. God's Word for you and for me. Let us pray. Lord God, if You would guide me tonight in what I have to say, it would be a beautiful thing. And so I give You thanks in advance for how You will do it. Amen. There's a fellow by the name of John Jacob Niles. He wrote a wonderful Christmas carol, "I Wonder as I Wander." And the carol talks about walking underneath the stars at night and wondering about Jesus coming as Savior for you and for me. I find it very interesting that Niles, when he describes you and me, he says that we're poor, ornery people. Ouch. And so for ages, men and women have thought deeply about Jesus. And perhaps at Christmas time, we think more often and more deeply than at other times. In my last appointment was out in Eureka, and I lived in Neenah, and so I would travel at night frequently. But it was always a joy, especially when it was a moonless night and it was clear. Because when you're away from town, as you know from driving around here, then you can see the stars. And there were times when I would simply just stop the car along the side of the road. I turn off the headlights and I get out of the car and I would stand there and just look up at the stars. And then I would wonder, as I wandered about the comments in the scriptures that teach us that God created all of this. All of those stars, way too many to count. Oh, how beautiful. This Christmas season, as I do every year, I've been reading the passage from Luke 2, 1 through 20, the Christmas story. I never get tired of it. There were angels, they had come and they had spoken to the shepherds. And we heard about that as we lit that Advent wreath. And then when they had left, do you remember how many were there? A great multitude. Maybe as many as the stars in the sky. But when they had left, the shepherds, because they had brought the shepherds a message, they had announced Jesus' birth, and the shepherds were talking about this experience. And then we read this again in Luke 2:15. They said, "Let's go to Bethlehem and we'll see this thing that has happened." This thing that has happened. Little did the shepherds know the full significance of what they would see in this visit to meet the baby Jesus. How important it was that they paid attention, that they listened, and then when the angels came, they said, let's go and see it. I don't want to miss this. And so I wonder, have you been looking for the baby Jesus over the last few days? I know it's been busy. There's been work and there's been school and there's been all kinds of preparations. But have you been looking for the baby Jesus? You see, the shepherds, if they had not gone looking, they would never have found him. Oh, I hope you're looking for the baby boy named Jesus. When the shepherds arrived in Bethlehem, they found this newborn baby, but it was so much more. You see, that baby was the Word with a capital W, the same one that's talked about in that first chapter of John. And John tells us that Jesus existed in the beginning. And so we have to realize that, we read the creation story and the beauty of that. We have to realize that Jesus was already there. Even before God spoke the words that created everything, Jesus was there. The shepherds would see an infant. Oh, yes. But I wonder if they fully realized they were looking at God. They were looking at what sometimes is called the Ancient of Days. Anybody here ever been to Mammoth Cave in Kentucky? Ah, few. It's really a neat place. You can take this cave tour, and then the tour guide guides you down into the cave and explains this and that. And then when you get really pretty deep in the cave, you get into this one very big room, and then he explains about the room a little bit, and then he turns the lights off as he's explaining to you how many feet below ground you are now. And so there you are. You literally cannot see your hand in front of your face. And then he does a very interesting thing. He lights a candle. Just one. We'll light some candles in a little while too, but just one candle. And this room in that cave is huge. But that one light lights the whole thing up. Just that one flame. Jesus is the light of the world. When the baby Jesus came into this world, it was a very dark place. Sin abounded in every way. Even the preachers of that day were leading people astray. They were leading them farther away from God rather than closer to God. We live in a time now where sin abounds. This is a very dark world and we need the light. Eventually on the cave tour, the guide will turn the lights back on. And you know what? Then you get to walk in the light. You get to journey in the light. And you can see where you need to go. And that's exactly what Jesus wants to do for us today. To walk in this journey with you in your life. So that you can always be in the light and not in the darkness of the world. You see, with the light of Christ guiding you, then you can avoid all of the potholes of temptation and sin that are all over the place. I wonder sometimes, I accept it for what it is, but I wonder sometimes, God, why did you send Jesus as a baby? It could have been something else, but a baby. And so far, my reasoning is this. I think maybe God wanted to show us that He's capable of doing anything, even being God as a baby. And also, I think it was partly to show us that God is not interested in possessions or riches. The baby was born very humbly, wasn't he? And that baby would grow up, he would live humbly his whole life. And then I think there's a third reason why he came as a baby, as a human infant. And that's because God wants you to know that he understands you. Who better for us to identify with than a God who has been human? Through Jesus, God knows exactly what it feels like when there is great joy in your life for one circumstance or another. But also, through Jesus, God knows exactly how you feel when you deal with the hard things in your life. John records Jesus' words. Jesus said, "My purpose is to give life in all its fullness." And so I ask you this night, what would make your life full? I'm serious. What is it that would make your life full? And then now that you have that in your mind, have you talked to Jesus about it? He's ever ready to listen. Jesus arrived in Bethlehem. He arrived as a gift to the world. And each of us thinks about the gifts we might receive either later tonight or tomorrow morning, depending on your family tradition. We even make lists, don't we? And we give them to our loved ones in hopes that they will pay heed to our heart's desires. And so we understand that Jesus is the greatest gift of all. The very presence of God come to be with us and came on a night that was completely filled with stars. He came in ushering in a new covenant. That's a fancy word for a new agreement between people and God. We had always understood God's rules. The Ten Commandments, we call them. But you know, in our humanness, it's impossible to keep all of those rules. And the one thing that God wants to have with you is a relationship, but He doesn't like rule breakers. And so how is that going to get fixed? Oh, it came. In a stable, as an infant. the baby boy. That's how it gets fixed. That's how our relationship is straightened out with God, even though we can't be perfect and never will be. Oh, please relax in your imperfectness, because God still loves you just the way you are. And He invites you into a relationship based on His forgiving you for not being perfect. Listen again to what it says in John 1:14. The Word, Jesus, became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And then John 1:16 again. From the fullness of His grace, we have all received one blessing after another. God's got gifts for you. He wants you to have things that will make your life better. He reminded me of that. I was in Festival a couple days ago, picking up some groceries, and I'm in the produce section, and there they were, those baskets that you see at Christmas time. You know, the ones all wrapped in cellophane, and there's every kind of fruit that you can think of in there. And then it reminded me that there's this beautiful passage of Scripture that in Galatians, it's Galatians 5:22, it's the fruit of the Spirit. And this is what God wants to grow in you. This is one of the gifts that God wants to give you. This is one of the ways that He can show you how much He thinks you're worth, how much He cares for you. Because listen to this, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And wouldn't you like to have that in your life, in your workplace, in your neighborhood? You see, God wants to give you good things so that you're able to be at peace in the midst of the trials and the tribulations in your life. But don't shortchange God, because He understands the risk He's taking by wanting to give you gifts. What if you totally ignore Him? You don't think the gifts are worth it. What if you accept the gifts and His presence in your life, and then you reject Him later and walk away? Oh, He knows. He knows the risks, but He'll take it because you're worth it. Beloved of God, the shepherds heard it first, the announcement of the birth of Christ. And they decided that they wanted to go see this thing that had happened. Going to the stable, they were amazed. And you know, their lives were changed forever. And so once again tonight, we hear of the birth of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And this invitation is still there for you and for me. It's given so that we might want to seek out the one who is the Savior. And so I have to leave you with this. Will you go looking for Him in your life? Will you? And then when you find Him, will you follow Him?